Okay. Gemara has an interesting shiloh over here on Lamed Aleph from the Aleph, then we'll move to Lamed Aleph from the Beis. The two sugis are connected. The Gemara has a shiloh, Ben Almana Acha, Shol Ben Almana Acha, says Rabbi Lazar, Abba Ima Hashkeni Mayim, V'ima Meres Hashkeni Mayim. Mother, father says, bring me a drink of water. The mother says, bring me a drink of water. Ezmeim Kaidem, who takes precedence? You have to honor, you have to be mechabit both. Amalei Hanach Kvad Imcha Vasei Kvad Avicha. First, you should take care of your father. Set aside the covenant of your mother, because you and your mother are chayv in the covenant of your father. So the Achrayim may ask a question based on the Gemara Masechtas Chulin and Daf Yud Beis Med Aleph, where the Gemara tells us that a person is certain that his mother is his mother. His father is based on a roiv b'ilo sachar abal. Most of the time, you know, the woman is with her husband, but a miut, a minority of times that she's not, but roiv b'ilo sachar abal, there's a roiv. But not necessarily with absolute certainty do you know that the father is the father. See, Achrayim ask Akash over here, why then do you give precedence to the covenant of the father over the covenant of the mother? The mother is a vadai, she's for sure your mother. The father is only a rive. Rive, so ain't suffik, maitzmi de vadai. Why is the suffik of the father? It's a rive, okay, but it's still a suffik. So why does your suffik father take precedence over your vadai mother? That's perhaps why, as well, the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that when a person makes a mishabera for a chayla, so you do it with the mother's name, not with the father's name. Why? Because the pasuk tells us in Sefer Tehillim, "Vayishaya ben Amasecha." David HaMelech says, "HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save me, the son of your maidservant." He often refers to himself as Ben Amasecha, the son of your maidservant. So why does he refer to himself as the son of his maidservant? Why not Ben Avdecha, the son of your Eved, of your servant? So the Zohar HaKadosh says, because when a person is davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tzarech lefarish dvar of karoi, he has to explain his tefillah explicitly. For example, the Zohar HaKadosh tells us in Parashas Vayishlach that when next week's parasha, when Yaakov Avinu is davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before his encounter with Esav, he says, Hatzireni Noah, Miyad Ochi, Miyad Esav. Save me from my brother, from Esav. Why is he so explicit? Berachel, Bitcha, Hakana. He's not dealing with Lavan over here. He's dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why does he have to say, and be so explicit, Hatzileni Noah, Miyad Ochi, Miyad Esav, from my brother, from Esav? So the Zohar HaKadosh says in Parashas Vayishlach, because when you're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tzarech lefarish dvar karoi, you have to be explicit in what you're davening for. So too, the Achrayim right of Gedalia Felder has in his sefer called Yisayda Yeshurun, the Rav in Toronto. So Rav Gedalia Felder writes that the Zohar HaKadosh is lishitasei. That's why when you're asking for a mishaber for a chayla, since you have to be explicit in your tefillah, Hatzileini Nomi Ad Ochim Yad Esav, when you're davening for a chayla, you say Ben Amosecha, the son of the mother. Why the son of the mother? The mother is for sure your mother. That's absolute. No doubt about that. Father, Roiv Bilo Sachar Bal. It's Roiv. But it's still a suffix. So we don't say when you're davening for a chayla, Ben Avdecha, the son of the father. We say Ben Amosecha, the son of the mother, because we want the tefillah to be specific, to be exact, and we're sure that the mother is the mother, the father is some measure of doubt. Yes.
Is there a reason why you have to be explicit?
Good question. Why do you have to be explicit? I don't know. He's saying, doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu know? Well, the Magen Avraham is a big... Magen Avraham asks a famous question on this Zohar HaKadosh, because the Gemara tells in the Sechtes Brachos that when Moshe davens for Miriam, he says, Kel na refa na la. And he doesn't mention her name. So what happened to being so explicit in our tefillahs? Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't even mention the name of Miriam. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, the Magen Avraham quotes the name of the Ma'aril, that's if you're davening in front of the chayla. If you're davening in front of the chayla, you don't have to mention their name, they're sitting right in front of you. You say, Kel, no, Rafan, no, la, and he's pointing at her. So then it's explicit also. So even though there might be indications, you don't have to be as explicit. The Magen Avraham says, no, that's because it's right in front of you. If it's right in front of you, so then you don't have to be explicit because it's sitting in front of you. I don't know, maybe tefillah is, it's a good question. You need to explore. Anyway, so getting back over here, so why does the covenant of the father take precedence over the covenant of the mother? We should give precedence to the covenant of the mother. Ain't suffik, maitzimidei vadai. So they quote in the name of Reb Chaim, famous answer, The Reb Chaim said, because it's an insult to the mother if you're not going to be mechaber the father. What are you basically saying? You're basically saying, I don't trust you that the father of the who you told me is my father's my real father, and he's only a suffix, I'll be mechaber you. That's not a cover to your mother at all. Adarabha, that's an insult to your mother. You're basically saying that who you told me is my father all the years, I'm not so sure. So that's an insult. That itself is an insult to the mother. So that's why Reb Chaim said, that's why the covet of the father takes precedence over the covet of the mother. That itself is a covet to the mother, to be mechaber the father, to show that you believe that he's on equal footing, that he's a vada, just like you know she's your mother, you know that he's your father. And it is not just a roi bilas acharbal, that you trust her, that this is indeed your father. Where does this concept come from, though? That just because both of us are chayv in the covet of the father, the son and the mother, that we should be mechaber the father. Who told us that concept is true? So Tosfos writes in Masechtas Yevamos on Daf Hei Amud Beis that it's based on the drasha that we had yesterday. The Gemara told us in Masechtas Bava Metzia, it appears in Yevamos as well, commenting on the pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim, Ish Imoy Vaviv Tirov Eshab Soisai Tishmoru Ani Hashem, that you should fear your parents and keep Shabbos. Why do they both appear in the same pasuk? Why are they juxtaposed with one another? To teach us, Kulchem Chayavim Bechoydi, that since we're all chayv in the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if your parents tell you to violate one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, you don't listen to your parents. So too writes Tosfos in Yevamos, that's the source for this concept. Since by a mitzvah in the Torah, we don't listen to the parents if they tell you to violate the mitzvah in the Torah. Why? Because they're obligated to keep the mitzvahs and you're obligated to keep the mitzvahs. That teaches us the paradigm, that teaches us the concept, the notion, that if we're both chayv in the covet of somebody else, so then we have to defer to him. So since the mother and the son are both chayv in the covet of the father, writes Tosfos in Yevamos, that's the same case as both you and the parents are chayv in covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore the mitzvahs take precedence over kibud aviyim. So too the covet of the father takes precedence over the covet of the mother, since both of us are chayv, the son and the mother are chayv in covet of the father. This concept is based on that concept of kulchem chayavim bechvaydi, that we're all chayv in the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore we have to kibud aviyim. Does not trump any of the mitzvahs of the Torah. In fact, it says in Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't even if your parents tell you to violate a mitzvah midrabbanon, it appears in Hilchos Kibud Aviyim, Simin Reish Mem, even if your parents tell you, in Yerodea, even if your parents tell you to violate a mitzvah midrabbanon, Yom Tov Sheni, you don't have to listen to them, even though it's only derabbanon, and Kibud Aviyim is deraisa. Maybe we should have said that a deraisa should be deicha derabbanon. We don't say that. You're not obligated to listen to your parents. It says in Pischei Tshuva, though, on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, if they tell you to violate a minog, so then already Kibud Aviyim takes precedence. What minog? Let's say your parents say, we don't want you wearing a yarmulke we had over here. That's a minog. You know, not to walk the Aramis, the Kaim is a Kufa. I don't think we would say that. So it means, you know, if your father davens Nusuch Sfard and you want to daven Nusuch Ashkenaz, I don't know. I don't know what minog we're talking about over here. But it says in the Pesach Tshuva, if your parents ask you to violate a minig, maybe perhaps out of Kibud Aviyim, you shouldn't do the minig in front of them. Yeah.
What about keeping 2 days in Eretz Yisrael for Chagim? If your parents come
to the day, depends on what the situation is. If it's a regular, no other mitigating circumstances, that's a halacha. I don't think that's a... If you have your own property there, you're there all the three regalim, it's a big machlekes. Rosh Hashanah Zalman held one day, Rav Moshe held 2 days, so then your parents do like Rosh Hashanah Zalman, maybe it's the right thing. That I don't know. That sounds like the right thing to do. But there could be different circumstances present themselves. Yeah.
Would this logic extend to like making decisions between honoring your parent or your grandparent if they both ask at the same time?
We discussed that already, this honoring grandparents. Sometimes it's a gufa cover to the parents to honor the grandparents. We discussed whether parents take precedence over grandparents or the grandparents.
Well, we're using this logic of, like, they have to be...
They are obligated, right? So we brought up that issue at the time. Since both of them are obligated, since I'm obligated in the grandparent, and the parent is obligated in the grandparents, and maybe the grandparents should take precedence over the parent. However, we suggested it could be that my obligation to honor the grandparent is only as an avenue of honoring the parent. I'm not really obligated to honor the grandparent independently. I'm only obligated to honor the grandparent perhaps during the lifetime of the parent. As a method of honoring the parent, I honor your father. But it's not that it's an independent obligation. But it's a good point. Achrayim raised that issue based on this. Fantastic point. So therefore, since you're not obligated to listen to the parents, even if it comes in contradiction to one of the mitzvahs, perhaps that's how we could understand the Gemara Masechtas Megillah over here. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Megillah, Daf Tezayin and Mebeis, this week's parsha, Parshas Vayetze, that Yaakov Avinu on his way to the house of Lavan makes a pit stop for 14 years to learn Torah in Yeshiva Shem V'Yever. Why did he stop for 14 years to learn Torah on his way into the Golos? His parents told him, go to the house of Lavan. What is he stopping for? By the way, pit stop for 14 years to learn Torah. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, as well as many others, explained he needed to learn how to survive in Golos. He had survived in Eretz Yisrael now. Until now, that's one Torah, one Mahalach HaChayim. Now he goes to Golos. He needed a new Torah, a new Mahalach HaChayim. So writes the Gemara Masechtas Megillah that for those 14 years that he dwelled in Yeshiva Shem V'Yever, he's not punished. He, even though he deserted his parents, as it says in the Sefer Chassidim, Maril, that a person should live near his parents in order to be mechabed them. You shouldn't move to the other side of the globe for no reason. If you have a parnosa, you have Lisa Isha, or you have Limo Teira, then you can leave your parents. But the Sefer Chassidim writes that ideally a person should live near his parents to be able to fulfill Kibbut Aviyeh. So Yaakov Avinu here, though, deserted his parents. But for those 14 years, he was learning Yeshiva Shem V'Yever, he's not punished. He's allowed to leave his parents to go learn Teira. But the 22 years that he remained in the house of Lavan, when he wasn't learning Torah, but for the 22 years that he was in the house of Lavan, he was punished. When was he punished? He had to suffer through missing Yosef for 22 years, that Yosef was in Mitzrayim, and he was unaware of his whereabouts. So because he deserted his parents for 22 years, he was punished for those 22 years that he had to suffer with the episode of Yosef. He was missing Yosef. But for the 14 years that he was in Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever, he wasn't punished. Why? Because Gadol Talmud Torah Yosef Mikibud Aviyem. Talmud Torah is greater than Kibud Aviyem. So that's why it says in the Shulchan Aruch, why? Because your parents can't tell you to violate one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Talmud Torah trumps Kibud Aviyem. So that's why it says in the Shulchan Aruch, in the name of the Ma'arik, that if, let's say, your parents want you to learn in Yeshiva here, and you want to learn in Yeshiva elsewhere, you feel that you will learn Torah better somewhere else, so it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you don't have to listen to your parents if they're paying the bills, so then they might have more leverage. But if that's not the issue, the only issue is one of Kibud Aviyeh, so then it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you don't have to listen to your parents. You could go learn where you feel that you will learn better. And the Gemara tells us in the Masechtas Avodah Zarah that Ein Adam Loimed El B'Makom Shelibay Chafetz, that really means you only learn the topics that are interesting to you, but also we could apply it to where a person is interested in learning. So Ein Adam Loimed El B'Makom Shelibay Chafetz, a person can only learn in a place where he feels he'll be successful, and not going to be successful in every different yeshiva. So if a person feels that he needs to be in a certain yeshiva in order to be successful, he's allowed to violate the covenant of the parents and go to learn in that yeshiva. Or Rabbi Avadi Yosef is a truth in the Yechaved Das. Let's say your parents want you to go to what he calls a yeshiva techni, where they have secular studies, and he feels that he will learn better Torah in a place where there aren't any distractions. So then Rabbi Avadi Yosef writes in the Yechaved Das that you don't have to listen to your, again, they're not paying tuition one way or otherwise, they have, you have no choice. But he says that if, ideally speaking, you have the right to listen to your parents, not to listen to your parents, and go learn in the yeshiva that a person feels is best for him. At the same time, I will add, it doesn't mean that it's smart. People's parents usually have their best interests at heart. I'll just add this as an aside. I find it extremely bothersome in our times that Rebbeim, who are all Negei Bedover, Rabbi say, anybody who runs a yeshiva and wants you to stay in that yeshiva is Negei Bedover. I don't think I'm included, but I include myself in that statement. But anybody who encourages a Talmud to stay in the yeshiva is Negei Bedover. Whether he has your best interest at heart, he doesn't have your best interest at heart, we could debate, we hope he does. But Lamaise is, he's Negei Bedover. And one's Rebbe, no matter how much he loves you, never loves you as much as your parents. And your parents always, hopefully, assuming the relationship is a healthy relationship. And the parents are not Negei Bedover. Parents want, obviously they have their own Negeis, but a parent only has, the best, hopefully, should only have the best interest of the child at heart. So I always give deference to the opinion of parents, and I think Rebbeim in our time have taken upon themselves way too much achrayus for kids, and then to stay 1 year in yeshiva, and then after what happens to them afterwards, once they're out of the picture, they don't continue to assume that same level of responsibility, and oftentimes people are left in situations which are not ideal. So even if a person thinks he's only going to, I can only learn in one yeshiva, I would give a lot of weight to one's advice from one's parents rather than advice to people you met, you know, in the last 6 months. I think that that's good advice. So yes, it's true that perhaps you don't have to listen to the parents in this situation. It says in Shulchan Aruch, true for Rabbi Avadia, very nice, but it is a good idea to have a BA, it's a good idea to have a parnasa, not just a good idea, we saw it's a chiyuv upon the parents, l'amda umnis, the parents want to fulfill their obligation. So with all of these statements that are found in Shulchan Aruch, Pisrei Tshuva, you know, and in the Tshuvas Svarim, it's not so easy to apply them necessarily to our situations. At the same time, the writes the Pisrei Tshuva, the Talmud Torah is Gadol Mikivud Aviyim. Okay, that's the paraphrase from the Gemara Masechtas Megillah, that if your parents tell you not to learn Torah and you feel that you'll be successful learning Torah in a different yeshiva, you're allowed to go and learn Torah in violation of the wishes of the parents. And therefore, do you have to stop learning Rabbi Yisai to be Mechad, to do Kivud Aviyim? Let's say your parents ask you, you know, can you come home? I'd like to see you the Shabbos, or, you know, can you come home and, you know, help me, or let's say, you had the base medrash in the local shul, can you take out the garbage? No, I'm sorry, I'm on my way to the base medrash, I can't help you take out the garbage. What happens? So all of Kibbut Aviyim is out the window, a person's going to learn, there's no more Kibbut Aviyim, so rise to Pisrei Tshuva, no. Ha'nudav kim tzarech leilech chutz le'ir. It's only if you're leaving the city that Kibbut Aviyim trumps Talmud Torah. Avalim hu ba'ir. You're in the city, so then you have to stop and go back to learning Torah afterwards. But you have to stop to do Kivud Aviyim. Why? They're telling you to violate one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. I have a Seder, I'm about to go learn, and here my parents are asking me to do something. The Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, Gadol Talmud Torah, Yosem Kivud Aviyim. You get a t-shirt, Gadol Talmud Torah, Yosem Kivud Aviyim. So then how come, I think my son has that one. So then how come the Pisrei Tshuva distinguishes between if it's within the same city or not within the same city? If it's within the same city, so then you have to stop and go and help them to do what they asked. If it's not in the same city, then you don't have to come back and help them. What's the difference when they're in the same city or not in the same city? So I think the answer is based on what we discussed a few days ago with regards to Puruvu and Talmud Torah. We had a contradiction in the Rambam. If you remember, the Rambam told us in one place that the rule of Ha'asik B'mitzvah, Potam and HaMitzvah, does not apply usually, generally, to Talmud Torah. We don't say, well, because I'm learning, I'm Potam from Davening Tfilas Mincha. We don't say that, even though usually Ha'asik B'mitzvah, Potam and HaMitzvah, that doesn't apply to Talmud Torah. You have to stop doing the Talmud Torah, assuming it's a mitzvah, She'ef Shalas HaZadei Echeirim, and do the mitzvah, and you go back to learning afterwards. So Ha'asik B'mitzvah, Potam and HaMitzvah does not apply to Talmud Torah. So therefore, you should really have to stop learning to do Kibbut Aviyim as well. The only issue is, the Rambam said, when it comes to Puruvu, that a person is allowed to push off fulfilling Puruvu in order to learn Torah. Why? Because the Rambam says, Ha'asik B'mitzvah, Potam and HaMitzvah, a culture came to Talmud Torah. Certainly, when it comes to Talmud Torah, Ha'asik B'mitzvah, Potam and HaMitzvah. But the Rambam told us elsewhere that we don't apply the rule for Isaac B'mitzvah, Potam and HaMitzvah when it comes to Talmud Torah. You have to stop learning to go do Kibbut Aviyim. So we explained in the name of many Achrayim that it's because there's two mitzvahs to Talmud Torah. There's one mitzvah of constantly being Isaac in Torah. L'yom u'sefer Torah z'mipicha. Person should always be learning Torah. So on that mitzvah of Isaac in Torah, of constantly being learning, of v'shinantem sh'udivrei Torah, which was based on b'shach b'chav kumecha, you could learn, you know, once in the morning, once at night, a mitzvah to always be learning, or learning whenever you're able to. So there we say that there's no concept of Isaac and mitzvah, Potam and a mitzvah when it comes to Talmud Torah. You can't always be learning. It's only when you have free time, or you have to, in order to legitimize your learning, you have to go sometimes perform the mitzvahs as well. We can't always sit and learn halachas of Kibbut Aviyim if we're not actually going to do it. So at some point, you actually have to do the mitzvahs. So when it comes to Asik and Torah, simply learning all the time, the minimum of once in the morning, once at night, a maximum of constantly. So in that sphere, in that realm, we say, does not apply to Talmud Torah. But when it comes to Yediyas HaTorah, the lifetime goal of learning Kol Torah Kula, based on the pasuk v'shinantam uvanecha, shu'udivrei Torah chudadim b'ficha, when it comes to that, we do apply the rule of Ha'asik B'mitzvah, Potam and HaMitzvah, even when it comes to Talmud Torah, and Kol Shekein when it comes to Talmud Torah. So we said that's why you're allowed to push off getting married, because that's not simply an issue of being involved in Torah now or not. That's going to deprive somebody, if he gets married too early, of those formative years when he's able to learn and get a framework, a foundation, which will give him a lifetime ability to learn Torah. And if he's going to miss those years of learning, it will change his arc of his life in terms of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So I believe that's the distinction of the Pesachei Teshuvah here as well. If your parents are asking you not to learn in a yeshiva that he feels, ideally speaking, he'll be able to learn the best in, so then he's going to have to compromise not simply a few minutes here or there of Esek and Torah, but his lifetime ability to accomplish in Talmud Torah. That's a whole different story. That's the mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah. There we apply Ha'esek v'mitzvah patam and ha'mitzvah even when it comes to Talmud Torah, and Kol Shekein when it comes to Talmud Torah. Just like Puravu, you could push it off when it comes to Talmud Torah, because you can push off Puravu, because otherwise you won't be able to learn as well for the rest of your life. So too, if a person is going to not go to another city to learn, his whole life will be different. But if you're there already, you're living nearby, just he has a Seder now or a Seder later, so okay, so you push off those 5-10 minutes, not going to change your life. We want to make the most of every minute, you know, right? Bacon, can you? We want to make the most of every minute that we have in yeshiva, of course, but at the same time, we know that every minute is not necessarily going to change your life, so therefore a person should stop learning at that point and go and participate and do the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim. Okay, but generally speaking, Kibud Av V'Aim takes the back seat to any one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. If your parents tell you to violate the mitzvah of the Torah, so then we don't listen to the parents, the mitzvah would take precedence. Shekulchem chayom b'chvaydi, and certainly when it comes to Talmud Torah as well, Talmud Torah takes precedence. Yeah.
What if you live in the same city, but your parents ask you to do something that would take up like a whole seder, like go to Brooklyn and get challahs for Shabbos?
Right. Certain type of herring. They want the schmaltz herring.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So the question is, if it's every Friday, I think it becomes, you have to, meaning judge it based on this standard. If it's like, you know, they're making Shabbos Shever Brochus and they want the big Rebbe Shechala for the Shabbos Shever Brochus, and it's a one-time thing, you know, so then I think it's the right thing to go and do it. But if that's a matter of Esek and Torah, not Yediyas HaTorah. But if it's, we'd like you every Friday to spend doing, you know, our driving, you know, so then that's unreasonable at that point. Meaning that's already, now you're compromising, you know, a seventh of your childhood going to get chalas. So that's, you know, that already could affect the person long term. Perhaps that would be considered unreasonable. One other issue, of course, that relates to this general discussion is the Gemara that's brought up over here on Lamed Aleph from the Beis with a dilemma, which we've discussed before, last year if you remember, a dilemma of moving to Eretz Yisrael versus Kibud Av V'Aim. Which takes precedence? So the Medrash tells us a few weeks ago in Parshas Lech Lecha, over here, Oiz Gimel, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, "V'yomer Hashem al Avraham, Lech Lecha, you should go." Why did a Kadosh Baruch Hu have to give him that kind of double lashon for emphasis? So many different drushes of Chazal, Lech Lecha, for you, it'll be beneficial for you. But comments the Medrash of Fisha Avraham Avinu, "Mefachet v'omer Eitzev you mechalim bi Shem Shemayim v'omer Heniach Ove v'Holoch leLezik Nusay." Terach Avi Avram was still alive. Even though the last passage of Parshas Noach tells us that Terach died, Rashi there writes he didn't really die then. The Torah just put it before Parshas Noach, so no one should accuse Avram Avinu, or it shouldn't be obvious, that he left his father to go move to Eretz Israel. That would be distasteful. So too, Avram Avinu was hesitant to leave his father to move to Eretz Israel. So Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lechani Paita Mikibud Av V'Aim, I'm exempting you from Kibud Av V'Aim. We said, really, ideally, a person should live near his parents to be able to fulfill Kibud Av V'Aim, unless his parents are, you know, he can't live near his parents for other reasons, then okay. But ideally speaking, a person should live near his parents to fulfill Kibud Av V'Aim. So Avraham Avinu was leaving his parents to go to Eretz Yisrael. He was nervous about that. So Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, "Chani Paita, I'm exempting you from Kibud Av V'Aim, special dispensation. Ve'ein ani paita la'achem mikibud Av V'Aim. I'm not exempting others, though, from Kibud Av V'Aim." So what does this sound like? What do you get the impression from this Medrash? Which takes precedence? Kibud Av V'Aim or moving to Eretz Israel? Yeah. Kibud Av V'Aim takes precedence. That's the impression that you get. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a special dispensation to Avraham Avinu, wouldn't apply to others. And that's how it's interpreted by the Chayei Odom and the Chachmas Odom. Chayei Odom is usually an Inyani or a Chayim. The Chachmas Odom is the same author. Rav Avram Danzig was a contemporary of the Gra. He has a Sefer in Yerodeh called Chachmas Odom. So in Hilchas Kibud Av V'Aim, he derives from this Medrash, Pashat, If you have a dilemma between moving to Eretz Yisrael and Kibbutz Aviyim, you're not supposed to go. Kibbutz Aviyim takes precedence. And they have a raya to this from the Gemara Masechtas Kiddushin over here as well. The Gemara tells us on Lamed Aleph it based the story of Rav Asi. Rav Asi Havilei Hahi Ema Zekena, a very elderly mother, Amalei Ba'ina Tafshitin. She said, I want the jewelry. Avilah, he made for her. Ba'ina Gavra. She said, I want a shidduch. Na'ayin locha, he said, okay, I'll do my best. I'll look into it. Ba'ina Gavra, the shaper kavasach. She said, I want someone just like you. I was getting icky already. So, Shavka ve'azalar de Yisrael. He saw that she's losing it. And he left her and he went to Eretz Yisrael. How was he able to do that? He just deserted his mother when the going got tough. The Gemara says earlier, even if there's Zarak Arniki b'fanecha liyam, even if they throw your purse, her purse, a big machlekes, is a Mishal Ab, Mishal Ben, we discussed, does Kibbutz Aviyim entail financial loss on your part, or is it the parent's obligation? So whose wallet are they throwing into the yam? Is a big discussion over here. But even if your parents are throwing anything, you know, provoking you, sounds like Kibbutz Aviyim continues to apply. So how did Rav Asi leave his mother over here? So the Rambam explains this Gemara. Gave it to you over here, Perek Vav, Hilchas Mamre, Malach Yud Aleph. It's very relevant, unfortunately, Lamaisa, that if a parent is nitra for daitam, become Alzheimer's, you know, physically, mentally impaired, Misha nitra for daitam shal aviv shal ima mishtada lino gimam kifi daitam, ashirukum aleim. You should try your best to take care of them. It becomes too difficult. You should leave and tell other people to take care of them. Where does he get that from this Gemara? What did Rav Asi do? I assume he didn't leave his mother high and dry. He made some sort of arrangement, but at the same time, he left his mother. Why are you allowed to do that? So the Radvaz, the commentaries on the side of the Rambam explain, because yeah, someone has to yell at the parent, someone has to take care of the parent, someone has to be mechiach the parent. And it's a bizayon for the child to do that. Child really shouldn't do that. Even though it's for the best interest of the parent, someone's going to have to, and it's going to get uncomfortable. And the child doesn't want to have to be the person to take care of the parent when it's going to involve giving rebuke or being mechiach them or treating them in a way that's not becoming. So Rambam feels better than to just leave at that point. The Ravid disagrees. Ravid says, what kind of Kibbutz Aviyim is that? Who's going to want to take care of them? If the son won't take care of them, who's going to take care of them? I guess this was in the days before, you know, senior living, but either way, it's still not the same type of care that a parent is going to provide. So the Ravid feels you should stay. Why should you stay? You'll take care of them. Ah, someone's going to have to be mochiach them. Okay, so that's part of the job of Kibbutz Aviyim, is even if you sometimes have to treat the parents in a non-bekavadika fashion, if they're not mentally impaired, so that's the job of the parent. That's the job, of the son. And the Rambam feels that a son at that point can leave. The Shilti Gibarim says, but what about our Gemara? What does the Raiva do with our Gemara? Our Gemara says, Asi left. The going got tough and he went going. What about Rav Asi? The Ravid said you have to stick around. So why didn't the Rav Asi stick around? According to the Ravid, we have a problem. The Rambam works well with our Gemara. What about according to the Ravid? So the Shilti Gibarim and our Gemara tells us, V'chein imroya ave v'imoy, shehein ba'li deos roos, u'mitzaren oysa yoyis midai yash mit mulefnehem. Says the Shilti Gibarim, our Gemara is talking about an abusive parent. She was not mentally ill at all. There's no Alzheimer's, no dementia going on over here. She was simply an abusive mother. So the physically abusive, you know, psychologically abusive. So said the Shilti Gibarim, a person is psychologically abusive parent, he's allowed to leave. And that's why Rav Asi left his mother. Okay, so the rabbi might say an abusive parent is a different thing. A parent who's ill, nebuch. So then that's a whole different story. Then the rabbi feels that you do have to stay. Okay, either way, continues on the Gemara. So Rav Asi left his mother, he goes to Eretz Yisrael. Shama deka azra basre. He heard she's coming to see him. Also kamed Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei ma'u lotzeis me'eretz l'chutz la'aretz. Can I go from Eretz Yisrael to chutz la'aretz to go greet her? Amalei aser. Oh, I'm sorry, he asked, simply, can I go? He didn't tell him the situation. He says, can I go from Eretz Yisrael to chutz la'aretz? He says, no, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Likras ima, what about to go greet my mother? Mahu. I'm going to greet my mother. Kibud Aviyim. Amalei Eini Yodea. He said, I don't know. Meaning, basically, but not interested in answering the question. He was being Dayachem. So, Himtin Porta, he waited a little bit. Hadar Asar, he came back with the same Shaila. Amalei Isi Nisratis Lotzes. He said to him, Rabbi Isi, if you want to go, go. Hamakom Yachzir Chalashalom. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should return you in peace. What does it mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should return you in peace? Yachzir Chalashalom. Look at Rashi. Ad Mekaimcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should return you to Chutz Laretz in peace. So again, what do you see from this Gemara? He was going to do Kibud Aviyim to greet his mother. And he had a competing issue of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So what did he tell him in the end? What did Rabbi Yochanan tell him? Hamakom Yachzir Chalashalom. Go back in peace. Meaning, go do Kibud Aviyim. Which takes precedence? Kibud Aviyim or Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? Kibud Aviyim. Says the Chayei Adam, that's the same as the Medrash. The Medrash told us what takes precedence, Kibud Aviyim or Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. L'cha nipayt v'en nipayt l'acherim. Avram Avinu was exempted from Kibud Aviyim for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, but nobody else. Only Avram Avinu. Nobody else. Everybody else, Kibud Aviyim takes precedence. And the Chayei Adam says, that's what Agamar means. Hamakom Yachzir Chalashalom. The problem is, Rabbi say, why should Kibud Aviyim take precedence over Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? Your parents are asking you to violate one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Normally, as we saw from Talmud Torah, we saw, you know, from Shmirah Shabbos, Kuchem Chayavim Bechvaydi. Everybody's obligated to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You and the parents. So the Kibud Aviyim takes a back seat to all the mitzvahs of the Torah, even the mitzvah of the Rabbanon. Takes a back seat. How come it doesn't take a back seat then to Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? Why does Kibud Aviyim take precedence over Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? And in fact, that's the question that the Maharam raises, Maharam Rutenberg, and the Maharam argues it's not true. He says, Sho'alta over here, Oizvav, Ha'em Ha'av Yochala Akiv Alidei Benoi, Milalois Eretz Yisrael, came in the Kaimo, and Mitzvah Lalois. He was asked this Shaila, can a parent prevent his child from going to Eretz Yisrael? And he responds, De Bechol Dover Mitzvah, Lo Yishmalo, De Kavod HaMokom Kodem. No, it's not true. Kibud Aviyim does not trump Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael takes precedence. Parents can't tell you not to violate one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. And in fact, the Maharsha in our Gemara learns this Gemara entirely differently. Writes the Maharsha on Rashi. Rashi said, Hamakom Yachzir Chalashalom means, Rabbi Yochanan told Rav Asi, may you return in peace. Says Marsha, Lule Perushai, were not for the Rashi's explanation, near the Likras Imar Velaxer Leretz Yisrael Kamar. What he meant is, go, come back in peace. May you return in peace. Va'amalei, Nisratis Lotzeis, Mishum Kavan Eim, Hamokom Yachzircha Lekan Leretz Yisrael. May you return in peace to Eretz Yisrael, meaning, I hope you come back soon. You're not allowed to leave for Kibud Aviyim. Eretz Yisrael takes precedence. That makes sense. Kibud Aviyim takes his backseat to all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Certainly then to Kibud Aviyim, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as well. What about the Medrash? The Medrash told us, Lech Lecha, Lecha Nipoitim, Kibud Aviyim, V'lo Lecherim, yeah?
Isn't the fact that you have a bracha sort of saying that what you're doing isn't the best thing? Like, can you give this bracha in order that you have a successful trip?
Right, but meaning, I understand you have to leave. Like, people have to leave Eretz Yisrael for Parnassah, you have to leave for different things. Fine. But don't think that that gives you a heter to, you know, to leave, leave temporarily. Okay, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael doesn't demand that people never leave Israel. What it means is you should live in Eretz Yisrael. So I hope you want to leave on a vacation, you know, a detour. Fine, but come back.
Yes.
That's what he was telling you. What about the Medrash though? The Medrash said Avram Avinu got a special dispensation to abandon his parents, but nobody else. What about that? See, Achrayim explained, Rabbi Avadya has this in his Shuvas Yechavadas, that was different. No, that's different. Because when was Avram Avinu going to Eretz Yisrael? Before Eretz Yisrael had been endowed with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Yes, it's true, there's many holy inyanim that relate to Eretz Yisrael even before, prior to Avram Avinu. But claims Rabbi Avadya that the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, didn't kick in until Avram Avinu was... Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Leich Hishalech Ba'aretz La'arko L'rachba Kilcha Nena. Avram Avinu walks around the borders of Eretz Yisrael because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give it to him. Says the Gemara Masechta Baba Basra that Avram Avinu at this time was Koina Kinyan in Eretz Yisrael. Like a Kinyan Chazaka, of, you know, of walking around the borders. That gives you a Kinyan in Eretz Yisrael. So that's when Eretz Yisrael became endowed with Kedusha. That's when the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael kicked in. So when did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him, Lochani poter mikibud avim v'ani poter l'acherim, you're exempt and you can abandon your parents to go to Eretz Yisrael, but not others? That's before there was a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz. You still want to move away and leave your parents. So that's not right. So he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm giving you permission to abandon your parents. Other people don't have the right to abandon their parents. But if you're going to do a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, once Kedushas Eretz Yisrael kicked in later on in history, now you're doing a mitzvah of abandoning your parents. You're going to do move to Eretz Yisrael. Oh, no. Then keep it, then Yishuv Eretz Yisrael takes precedence like all the other mitzvahs of the Torah. The Meshech Chochmah says a similar pshat into why Avram Avinu had to persuade his wife to come with him. The pasuk says, "Vayikach Avram es Sarai ishtoi, v'esloit benochi, v'eskoch shom asher v'chosh, v'esanefesh shosu b'charon." What did Avram Avinu take with him when he went to Eretz Yisrael? He took Sarah, his wife. Mahu vayikach? What does it mean? He took her. Am shechlo b'mili. The Zohar Hakadosh says he had to persuade her. He had to use his power of persuasion. But Sarachian says the Meshech Chochmah, why do you have to persuade her? She should have jumped at the opportunity. Hola Eretz Yisrael mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. A kaifa ishes ishtoi lalois. You can force your wife to move to Eretz Yisrael. Gemara's in the end of Masech the Subas. You can divorce you and give her the choice, either move with me or, you know, you don't have to pay the ksuba. If she doesn't want to go, you don't have to pay the ksuba. Because everyone has an obligation to move there. So how could it be that he had to persuade her? Says the Meshech Chochmah, Imkein lo haisa dine must be, there was no mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael yet. Imkein lo haisa dine yeshivas Eretz Yisrael mitzvah da oivlo hichzik ba. He hadn't made a kinyan on Eretz Yisrael yet, because he hadn't walked around all of its borders, so since there was no mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael yet, he had to persuade her. That's why the Medrash says, Avraham Avinu was exempt from Kibud Aviyim, not others. That's only when there's no mitzvah to leave. You know, a guy wants to stop as I move to some island, you know, middle of the Pacific Ocean, and abandon his parents. Not right. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you want to move to this place where there's no mitzvah to live there, I'll give you a dispensation to go. Nobody else can leave their parents willy-nilly for no reason. But now that there's a mitzvah to go, says Rabbi Avadia, that's what the Maharami Ruhenberg says, now that there's a mitzvah to go, no, now Yishuv Eretz Yisrael takes precedence, just like Kibud Aviyim takes a backseat to any one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael should be no different. So we have a machlokes ha-poskim l'maisa on this very common issue. What should a person do if he's presented with this dilemma of moving to Eretz Yisrael versus abandoning your parents? Assuming the parents want you to stay. Some parents' greatest dream is that their children live in Eretz Yisrael. So then it's a fulfillment of Kibud Aviyim to go. But if it's in violation of Kibud Aviyim, the parents are asking you to stay, or you're abandoning the parents, you want to go to Eretz Yisrael, which takes precedence, Kibud Aviyim or Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? We have a machlokes ha-poskim. The Maharami Rutenberg told us that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael should take precedence. Kulchem chayavim bechvaydi. They can't tell you to violate any of the mitzvahs of the Torah. And the Chayyadam proved from the Medrash, or maybe from the Gemara, that according to Rashi, that no, Kibud Aviyim takes precedence. How do we understand the Chayyadam? How do we understand Rashi? The Maharami Rutenberg should be right. Rabbi Avadia passes like the Maharami Rutenberg. But Rashi, the Chayyadam all disagreed. They said, no, Kibud Aviyim takes precedence. L'chani p'yitav, enani p'yitav l'acherim. Rashi said, ha-mokam yachzirich l'shalom, go to chutz la'aretz, be gebenched. Meaning, have a good time, you can leave for Kibud Aviyim. Kibud Aviyim takes precedence. So perhaps this issue is a much larger issue, which is, what is the nature of the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael? Is that a real mitzvah? Or is that, if you live there, you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah, but there's no real obligation to go necessarily. So those who feel that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael takes precedence over Kibud Aviyim feel that, in fact, it's an obligation to live there. So if your parents tell you not to live there, that's in violation of the din. Kibud Aviyim and Yishuv Eretz Yisrael wins. But if it's not really a mitzvah to live there, you know, incumbent upon everybody. If you live there, you fulfill a mitzvah, but not an obligation to go. So then maybe your parents are not telling you to violate a din in the Torah by not going. They're telling you, don't fulfill this mitzvah, you don't have to do it. So then maybe Kibud Aviyim takes precedence. This seems to be a machlokes rishonim. The Ramban writes over, later on, I think Parshas, all the way at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, on the pasuk, Vayirashtem es haaretz v'shavtem ba, you will inherit the land and you should settle it. Ki lachem nosati haaretz l'reshus oisa. As I've given you as an inheritance, al dati zumis is asehi yitzava oisem sheyeshu baaretz v'yirshu oisa ki hu nasna lahem. Ramban says this is a mitzvah saseh, one of the Tayag mitzvahs, to live, to inherit, to cultivate, to settle Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam, very famously, never in the Tayag mitzvahs quotes this mitzvah. Never mentions a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. All he does is he mentions in the Perakei of Hilchos Malachim, once you're there, you're not allowed to leave. Ram says, once you're there, you're not allowed to leave. So perhaps the Rambam feels it's not an obligation to go. But if you're there, you're fulfilling the mitzvah, you shouldn't leave. Why should you abandon a mitzvah that you're now fulfilling? So it's if you live there, everyone agrees it's a mitzvah. Question is, are you obligated to go? The Ramban feels you're obligated to go. The Rambam feels you're not obligated to go. If you're there, you're fulfilling a mitzvah, so you shouldn't leave. Why should you give up, relinquish one of your mitzvahs? But it's not a mitzvah, perhaps, to go. And this seems to be the opinion of Reb Chaim Cohn, quoted in the Taisus and Mesechtas Ksubis. Taisus writes, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael ain a noyeg bizman hazeh. The ikas hakanas drachim. It's dangerous, lamaisa. Why should you go? There's no more mitzvah nowadays. What does that mean? Is he saying it's sakonis nefashis? It's pikuach nefesh to live there? Maybe that's what he means. Va'yomer Rabbeinu Chaim, this is Reb Chaim Cohn, the Rishon, the Ashav eino mitzvah lador b'Eretz Yisrael. Nowadays there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Ki yesh kama mitzvahs hatluyas b'aretz v'kama einshin de'ein anu yochayim lizar b'hem v'lamad aleim. Listen, it's too difficult. What are you going to start with Trumas and Maisers now? Ganze Geschäft. Shavias. Life is difficult over there. Why would you want that? What does that mean? So the first part of Tarsus said, look, it's pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh, okay. Reb Chaim Cohn, we don't understand his argument at all. What? It's too difficult to be machbit on the head, you know, on Perishvius, on Truma and Meister? Get a card on how to be machbit. Truma and Meister, have instructions on how to do it. It's not so difficult. Shvius is difficult. Okay, but that's a reason not to live in Eretz Yisrael? What does he mean? See, Achranim explained what Reb Chaim Cohn means is it's a mitzvah kiyumis. If you live there, you fulfill a mitzvah. But there's no obligation to go. So he says, look, if you're going to go and you're going to end up eating tevel, then don't bother going. You don't have to be there in the first place. You're going to fulfill a mitzvah. If you're going to end up fulfilling, you know, violating more averos by coming up with different workarounds for all the mitzvahs of Tulias Baris, you're going to end up violating all the mitzvahs of Tulias Baris. Better not to go in the first place, because you're going to be violating more mitzvahs than you'll be fulfilling. You're not obligated to go. You're going to get brownie points. But if you're going to end up losing in the process, yatza schar b'efseidoi, so then don't bother going. So clearly it sounds like from Reb Chaim Cohn that, quoted in Taisus and Ksubas, it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis to go. If you're there, you're in fulfillment of a mitzvah. So that's what he says. You're going to violate more averus than you'll fulfill, then better not to go in the first place. And that sounds like the opinion of the Rambam too. That once you're there, you shouldn't leave. But not that you're necessarily obligated to go in the first place. But according to the Ramban, it sounds like it's an obligation. So Rav Avadia thinks we should pass like this Ramban, that there's a mitzvah to go, and therefore if your parents tell you not to go, they're asking you to violate one of the dinim of the Torah, and you don't have to listen to them, and Yishuv Eretz Yisrael should take precedence. However, many others, Rav Moshe, Rav Soloveitchik, all felt it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis to go. They felt that you fulfill a mitzvah if you live there, but it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis to go. So if that's the case, perhaps then we could understand, we have a greater understanding of why the Chayyadim feels that Kibbut Aviyim should take precedence. Because you're not obligated to go. So your parents are not asking you to violate one of the dinim of the Torah. If you go, you'll be in fulfillment of a mitzvah, but no obligation to go. Whereas Kibbut Aviyim is an obligation. So even though Kibbut Aviyim usually takes a back seat to any one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, that's if you're obligated to do it, either Midrash or Midrabanan. Here, you're not obligated to do it, so maybe Kibbut Aviyim will take precedence. Okay. Thank you again for accommodating the schedule. Tomorrow, regular...